It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
This is the Winning Plays Podcast on the CLNS Media Network, the leading online provider for the NBA's winningest franchise.
Winning Plays Podcast is back, and the people demand 14th and 15th man roster talk, Chris Forsberg. You are the guy we wanted on the ground for this talk.
It was funny because you texted me and you're like, I want a pod about the roster. And I was like, I actually like snapped my fingers. I was like, I was going to do this on Celtics talk and have you on to talk about the roster, because as there is nothing more irrational in fandom than our love of the 15th, 16th, 17th, like two-way guys and all this. So I'm actually excited for this episode. I'm going to try and shake out of my like vacation mode and bring some expert analysis about who will be the this year's Malik Fitz and celebrating at the end of the bench.
It's whether it's backup court, it's like it's universal across all sports.
Everything
is better, but for every time it doesn't matter at all. Sometimes you get the Javonte Green, or you get the guy who really perks up interest and actually makes a semblance of an impact, and it's fun. There's the underdog story is always in play here.
So I don't know if I agree with your Javonte Green comp would be that you see the potential. He's a fun guy who makes the end of the roster, and then they wait till he goes somewhere else to let him blossom.
This is true. Know? You so, give away so, like the Max Struces of the world, the Javonte. There's something that's a good, it's a good farm ground for those guys to do well other places.
Yeah, isn't this a cautionary tale about what we think about the 14th and 15th men on the roster? So, like, I know it's your podcast, but I want to start with you because I have mixed feelings amid reports of TJ Warren coming in for a workout and Lamar Stevens. Where are you on like what they should do with these final two spots on the roster? And do you have a preference on what sort of player they go get?
I think a wing is a necessity. I think honestly
a necessity.
Because I think you want to have an extra option there for just in case.
Like, so you have zero confidence in Jordan Walsh.
I don't have zero confidence in him. I just don't think you want to have that be your like sole, like Brissett's more of a four. Jordan Walsh, we'll see what he is. Ideally he's the guy, but right. You don't want to be dependent on that.
That is a lot for a 19-year-old who really hasn't played. And as much as we love summer league, I'm with you there. Okay, all right, you're selling me a little bit.
And Sam Hauser, you know, he'll play, and he's just like a different type of player than I think the guys that they are bringing in right now. I don't know if they're gonna have 15 guys on the roster start the season.
I think it would behoove them to be at 14, right? You want some flexibility probably. There. You don't want to tie up money, you don't know what happens at the trade deadline, and
are you only going to get one big? That's the thing. It's like, if then you ideally you definitely want another big, and right. Then that might be the slot. So it's like, it's either that or you get another two-way big as like extra depth insurance, but with the pool of those guys to look at. So where are you on this? Are you on the you bring Blake back mode and then like,
yeah, you know, it's so weird. I saw the report the other day. Someone said there's like four teams interested. I'm like, no, goddammit. Like that, Blake's back on this team. I don't know. I couldn't get a set. Like, I know they loved him locker room wise and like the bus one boys. And so part of me says, if you're going to ride hard on, I think I'm just repeating what I've said here before, but if you're going to lean heavy into Hauser and Pritchard and Cornette this season, you know, those are all guys that Blake had a relationship with that could use having like a voice in their corner that would support them. And I do think Blake is still playable. I know we didn't get to see it a lot last season, but if they had drawn the Bucks in the playoffs, you know, he would have been out there guarding Giannis. And I know that sounds wild that you just throw him into the fire in that situation, but he's had a track record of playing that well. And so I do think he can bring value to your team. And honestly, we saw last year that if he doesn't play, it's not going to be a bad thing. And he can throw him in there and be a spot starter if all your bigs are wiped on the second night of a back-to-back. So I just really like the potential of what Blake could be there. But you could also sell me that there's probably five guys in the league that you go find that would be sort of in the same mold. I just don't know if they'd be as respected, as much of a known commodity as what you know with Blake. So I'd like to at least leave that option open. And the fact that they're not working out any bigs right now seems to suggest to me that that's on the table. Yeah, like they're just keeping that dry. And then look, if he goes and signs with the Clippers or whatever, then okay, then now you're searching for option B. Well, a quick aside here, I was so wrong on Cavangeli. I thought he was going to be when you said two-way big, I'm thinking, you know, has that ever worked? And you know, Taco and Cavangeli, and you know, there isn't a roadmap to the two-way player emerging as sort of a piece you can lean on in an emergency. It's weird that Noah Vonleh was strangely more important last year than Cavangeli, and that's too bad because I really liked the player. I thought coming out of summer league that he could have a role. It just never materialized. So if you want to tell me that they could go find a two way big, I always thought that was going to be Harry Giles because of like the Tatum part of it. But yeah, like I would probably feel comfortable if they went the two way big route. The second night of back-to-backs are what worried me in terms of just having that little extra bit of depth. So I guess that's why I'm probably more worried about who's the – and it's so weird to worry about the fifth big or whatever the case may be. But I guess that's where I'm at with it. The wing doesn't concern me as much. I do agree with you that you probably can't ever have too many, and the Celtics have been in instances short. I just go back to it. Do you think there's any universe in which TJ Warren or Lamar Stevens is a rotational piece in the playoffs? And if not – you know, does carrying them make sense to you longer, like to going into the season?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. And if there's any team to be worried about the fifth big ever, this is the team. Like sure. This is like literally front and center. And yeah, I'm with you. Like I honestly think, and to that point, I think there's a case to just carry 15 out of the gate and like go Blake. And I know you want your flexibility and stuff like that, but you know, they still have. There's plenty of maneuverability on this roster. I don't think this is going to be a quiet during the season, you know,
right
spot for this team. So as far as like the tax implications and the second apron and all that crap, like that stuff that's going to be dealt with down the line anyway. But yeah, I think TJ Warren, it's funny that it's like, all right, guys, like you can see you're in the Celtics, you know, conference room this offseason. Be like, all right, let's bring two of the most opposite guys we could potentially look at into camp and figure this thing out and have them guard each other. But I do think from a defensive, like you need a gritty defensive guy ideally, sure. Which Lamar could feel like, yeah, are you going to be throwing out a guy there that is a 28% career 3-point shooter? Like, no, that shouldn't be in rotation, but could he work and spot minutes here or there over the course of the regular season? Like, yeah, like obviously that he had some success with that in Cleveland last year before he was exposed in the postseason. So, yeah, neither of these guys you wanted to be.
One question there. What is the difference? Like, what is the range of difference between Lamar Stevens and O'Shea Brissett?
I think Stevens can just probably guard like
a little
twos.
Bit more, right?
Yeah, like
he's so. I think if we're being honest, and like I can't, and then this is not inside information. I'm just guessing. Like if Lamar Stevens had been on the market before O'Shea Brissett, maybe they would have leaned that way. Like yeah. The flexibility a little bit more. Sort of, they're both essentially low cost wings who can push your other guys who have potential to blossom in a new system. Who like, you know, with Stevens is a little bit more of a track record of like starting games last year and being, you know, a little bit more versatile defensively. But I don't know if there's just that much of a difference between him and Brissett. And that might just be like, I haven't seen enough of O'Shea Brissett to pass full judgment. And I wonder, you know, in this offense, if he'll can blossom a little bit more. But I think that goes for anybody. They're just going to get better looks, more open opportunities. And so I don't know. I'm with you. I just hope that if they do sign someone along that lines, that they keep the flexibility, make it a non-guaranteed deal, make it, yeah, you know, partially guaranteed, give yourself some outs, because the worst thing that can happen is you get 3 weeks into the season and whether it's an injury, whether it's just like, oh, we have a different need, like point guard is more of an issue than we thought it was going to be. Like something comes up where you need the flexibility to sort of zig. And I just hope they don't lock themselves into somebody that, I don't know if they have a clear roadmap to playing a consistent role.
Well, here's the other thing too. It's like a guy, you know, they have 13 guys on the roster right now. 11 are, it's only 11 fully guaranteed.
Right.
Cornette should feel pretty safe based on his interview skills and just based on how, you know, I think Brad Stevens is a big fan of him. He was steady Eddie when he got chances last year early on. And then
Brad Stevens only liked tweet.
Exactly. So that speaks for itself.
All right, let's take a break here to hear from our sponsor, FanDuel. Football season is about to kick off, and FanDuel is giving you the chance to win all season long. Because right now, when you bet on a Super Bowl winner, you get bonus bets every time they win in the regular season. So just pick any team to win the Super Bowl, and you'll get bonus bets for every victory. And you can use those bonus bets on spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. So just head over to FanDuel.com/Boston and start earning bonus bets with America's number one sportsbook. That's FanDuel.com/Boston. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 1-800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Call 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY as well. 21 plus and present in select states. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Max bonus $50 unless specified otherwise. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with the Kansas Star Casino. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342. 1-800-789-777 in Connecticut. 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-522-4700. Or visit ksgamblinghelp.com in Kansas, 1-877-770-STOP in Louisiana, or visit mdgamblinghelp.org in Maryland, 1-800-522-4700 Wyoming, or visit 1-800-gambler.net in West Virginia. And now back to the show.
But like even like someone like Banton, like Steven, I mean, I can be like, you can make the case for Stevens over Banton on this roster in terms of like, if he plays better than him in training camp, it's like, oh yeah, Ben's like, and he only has, I think, like what, 50,000 guaranteed. It's like something, a drop in the bucket. So I could see you could make the case to Steven, like, okay, we can't give you guaranteed money, but listen, if you can beat out this guy in camp, like, well, you know, we'll give you that spot because that's just, I feel like the same type of, not the same type of player, but defensively, like the same type of, like, you want a guy like that can get into, you know, smaller players, and you do that. It's funny that we're spending so much time with Stevens, where TJ Warren is obviously the far sexier name here and the real name that could be.
How do you feel about TJ Warren?
I think the fact the Suns didn't bring him back says a lot. Like,
it's fair.
Like,
right?
Yeah,
couldn't crack their playoff rotation. You know, the only thing that really intrigued me is their numbers were really good when he was on the court. And right. I do think he's a better defender than people have this vision of any good shooter that they just don't play defense. And I think he's a little bit better than what people think on that side of the ball. He moves it. Like, there are good things about TJ Warren, you know, but even I remember when the Celtics were going through the Miles Turner thing, like everyone thought like, oh, that maybe they could get a TJ Warren with them and stuff like that. And this was pre-bubble before, you know, TJ Warren really exploded. And I don't even think at that point they were super interested. I think they were more looking at Holidays of the world at that point. And so I just wonder if I know you said he's a different player than Hauser, and I get that, but at the end of the day, it's 6'8" shooters that, you know, probably a little bit better defensively than we give them credit for. And I would hate if TJ Warren were to eat up minutes that I think should go to Hauser and just figure out what you got, because like, next contract's coming. You got to figure that out. Like, it sounds so weird. When they signed him, we're like, oh, they got this guy cost control for years. And now you kind of look up and you're like, well, decision time's coming. And like, I just hope they give him a chance. Cause at the start of last year, he was really good. And the numbers that I'm gushing about TJ Warren, the analytics were fantastic in terms of plus minus. Sure, he slumped. And then he just never kind of had the trust of Joe to get back in there. I think they need to figure out, like, can Joe trust him? You know, and for me, that's what it goes back to. If Joe can't trust Grant Williams, is Joe going to trust TJ Warren? So I just need to know that, like, where are we at with Joe's ability to trust sort of fringe rotation guys?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Based on, I mean, Joe has obviously leaned heavily into over the veterans over the young guys, which is not a surprise. This is
very Brad like
a very Brad. You know, any pretty much any Celtics head coach in history has in the last 25 years has carried that mantra. And yeah, like it's hard to look at, you know, T.J. Warren's the second name, but you're like, that guy that everyone was drooling over hasn't been that guy for 3 years now. Mm-hmm. And if you want to see what Sam Hauser is, like putting a potential roadblock in his place that may not even be close to better than him or hasn't been for a couple of years, then like what's the point of that? So yeah, I think if you're bringing back Blake, especially, like you should not be wasting another roster spot on like a TJ Warren on top of that, mm-hmm. in terms of like, get the veteran presence that you know that the team already loves there. Maybe if Blake goes elsewhere, that's where you're like, okay, maybe we bring a TJ Warren in.
Yep.
To kind of help fill that void.
By all accounts, like good veteran, like guy.
Yeah, seemed like a good guy.
He does have a history of beefing with Jimmy Butler. So like, ooh, Celtics fans will love that. And it's not the worst move. I just think in a vacuum, I was building the roster, and Brad Stevens should never listen to anything I say, but I probably want the non-guaranteed guy. And like, I feel like you have a better shot with Lamar Stevens, maybe of pushing that, like a partial guarantee, or, you know, you go in knowing, and like, look, you can tell these guys, if you get interest from other teams and you're just not in our cards, you can let them go. You'll see guys float out of training camps all the time. And so I just think that there's an ability here for them to come in and make a case for themselves or state a case for themselves and, you know, then figure it out from there.
TJ Warren playoff numbers, played 6 games for the Suns in their first round. Second round loss to the Nuggets. 31% shooting, 14% from 3, 2.7 points per game in 13 minutes.
There was talks of him being like the fifth starter on that group when they first acquired him, and he just never could get in there. And you know, like again, maybe further
removed. That's if there's any team was going to bring him back, the Phoenix Suns would have been like, yeah, right, we believe in this guy, we're bringing him back for the minimum. And they didn't.
Yeah, I think that's telling. That's a fair point. I like that. I like where your head's at with that.
Where are you at? We're burying the lead here. Where are you at, Lewis King?
It's funny that one, you know, look, they have an open two-way spot and
he's not eligible though. Not eligible.
Oh, I didn't know that. Oh,
it's gonna be his fifth year out of two-way time.
Wait, I thought, isn't the rule different, or is it he doesn't qualify under the
he doesn't qualify for that exception because he's played the 4 years. So
interesting.
Yeah, so
I just assumed
that's a G League, that's a main Celtics prospect.
So, okay, so that's what it is then. The new Denzel Valentines of the world, exactly. Like the guys who are trying to chase it up there. I will fully admit unfortunately for him, if he was the only guy coming in for a workout this week, we would have done a lot of King talk. Instead, we won't have it. Maybe for Jay King's sake, if he's in training camp, he could steal a jersey and get a King Celtics jersey. That's the as deep of analysis as I can get on that one.
Lots of possibilities there. Wow, we did it.
So I think, but honestly, like in terms of two way, like I think you're right. I think it needs to be probably a big like maybe even 7 footer or 6'11", whatever the case may be. It's just someone in case of emergency. If you know, Porzingis' foot and Rob's everything and Al's age. Like, you just need someone that you can just be like, call up and feel like can get through the second night of a back-to-back. It would be a luxury to have someone that was in that spot that you felt comfortable, especially with the way that you can lean heavier on those guys now and in the post-pandemic world of two-way players.
All right, let's wrap on this. How devastated are you that there are no Celtics playing in the World Cup now in the next 2 weeks? Or is that a sneaky, really good thing for the franchise going forward?
So, you know, like the fact that no one else can get injured is amazingly relieving. I can't tell you how many times I've been on a golf course in like August and September, and we've had a Celtic be injured. I was telling you before we jumped on when the first day I landed in South Carolina and people started calling me about Porzingis' foot. Like, what are we doing? I can't do this again. Yeah, what I really like is that Porzingis came out, and if you translate one of the overseas interviews, sort of said, you know, this flared up, talked to the Celtics. They're like, hey, let's manage this. He really wants to be there with the national team. And the Celtics were like, cool, you can go over there. You just can't play. What a great compromise, right? Like, I'm sure he wants to play, and I'm sure he probably would have played through the pain, because like that matters to guys, especially it feels like with outside the America that it really matters to those guys. Like, Daniel Theiss is on year 57 of playing for the German national team. And so, yeah, I guess that's what we get left. We'll watch some Theiss. What is his deal?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Theiss,
he's a free agent?
No, I think he's still in Indiana.
Just, oh, that's
like,
right.
Living, enjoying that contract, and yeah, and probably maybe
bio being, potential. Like, what's the? I gotta go.
I gotta see how many years he has. I think he might have a couple of years. He signed a 4-year deal.
Jesus, God so bless. God bless Daniel Theiss.
Actually, no, you're right. So he does have with 1 year and a team option next year. So there is, I think, like they could. That could be a buyout guy. Ooh, now you got, it's too bad. Look, he does not fit into that TPE though, $9.1 million. So you're not going
to
be able to.
You just wait for them to negotiate a buyout, right, in, you know, February or January or whatever, and then boom.
He probably still has his house back there, right? Like, come on.
So that's probably only if Blake doesn't come back. But
you just broke news for February now that this is like Theiss is coming back, like the buyout, like the wheels are in motion, like. Third,
I love it.
Charm.
Nothing we love more in Boston than getting bands back together. And I mean, Theiss would just be, I mean, he'd be doing the seal and letting Tatum get to the rim. I'm all in. I think we just roadmapped it. The Celtics are just looking for pieces to get through to, you know, January. And then as players like Theiss become available, I'm trying to think, what is a, you can use, like you said, the TPE on waived players, but he's going to be too much.
Yeah, he'll be too much. But he'll claim his contract. Like, he'll be
exactly. So he'll go through, and then where else would he want to go but move back to get back to Boston? He's got plenty of friends here and would fit right in the big meeting with Rob and Al, and Blake would welcome him with open arms, even if he was here and they needed another big. And yeah, we figured it out, B-Rob.
Well, here's the biggest question, the biggest cliffhanger to follow up on that. Gordon Hayward, $31.5 million expiring contract this year.
Rewind. Somewhere on the Winning Plays pod, I brought that up, and it was very premature. But I'll put it to you. I'm gonna dodge for a second. Do you think Gordon Hayward would want to come back here? What is his option,
on this,
right?
Team, well, so I think as this team is currently constructed, I don't know if he'd be like, can swallow his pride enough to come off the bench. Like, if he's at that point of his career where he's okay being the, he should be at this age, but I don't know if he is at age 33, if he wants to like win. Here's the thing though. I don't think he takes a buyout. I think he's a guy like who's gotten great contracts throughout his career. And so if you give up your bird rights, then you're like, ooh, then you are dependent totally on cap space moving forward. And I'm not sure if he's ready to do that, even though at the same time, he may not be more than a mid-level exception guy over the rest of his career at this point. So it's kind of it's fascinating. I weigh towards no in terms of whether you'd want to come back, but I don't know.
An amazing story.
It would be.
For the, you know, right? Like the guy who just snake bitten, career goes sort of awry, and then kind of lands back in a great situation where he's not a lot would be expected of him. You want to recoup your value, go be a part of a 7-man rotation that wins the title. Slots as a guy that can handle the ball, does everything that this team sort of needs in another wing. Like, we can sit here we just spent 20 minutes on Lamar Stevens and TJ Warren. Like, imagine if we're talking about Gordon Hayward at that point. And yet I'll devastate everything here and I'll say, when he signs with Miami after a buyout, be prepared to launch a computer. We know how much he was very much intrigued by Miami. when he went through the recruiting process that summer. And to me, that is the spot that I expect Gordon Hayward to be playing.
Because they have such a bigger role to offer.
Yeah.
And they would hear.
And, you know, who knows? And everything changes. And we'll find out, like, what teams look like further down the road. Like, are we sure Miami's going to be competitive now? I mean, they don't have Max Strus to kill you anymore. So we'll see how it all plays out. But, yeah, if Miami's in the mix, which you just assume they will be. But, like, let's see. If they trade for Lillard and things get different. And I guess even in that case, they'd have more of a playing time. I'm just resigned to it at this point. We're going to have to go through friggin' Miami with Gordon Hayward now on the other side. And it just the opposite of the feel good story. It's like now you got to go. Now you got to get through him and hope he doesn't spite you and find motivation in going against you. Can we just fast forward to February? Sure. Sounds like that's going to be so much more fun than the first 3 months of this season.
We need to get there. Well, the speculation will be rampant on this.
Heist, talk Hayward. Who else can we bring back?
Who else is gone? Buckle up. To keep tuned. We'll be on top of all the former Celtics. There's two lists. RJ Hunter making an attempt at a comeback this year. So
someone find me Jordan Mickey. What's he up to?
Right. Yeah, seriously. Yabu. Let's
don't even joke, B Rob. Like that is my he was on the books for like years after. Wasn't he one of the guys that was stretched or
yeah, he was stretched. Yeah, he was on the books. I think Demetrius Jackson is still on the books.
So Demetrius Jackson has had the longest stretch in human history. I think he's still 50,000 of dead money on this year's books. Yabu, I keep wondering when he's going to want to come back here. And maybe it's just, maybe he knows it's not good for his career at that point, but, and just make that real Madrid money and all that. But man, sometimes when I watch those games or even when it was international play last year, you could sweet talk me into he's the missing piece.
And now
boy, did this point come over. Did this podcast go off the rails?
Listen, these are the best podcasts of the year. End of August, 14th Man Talk turning into reunion.
Yabu, Gordon Hayward, and a random Jordan Mickey reference. If we don't get more feedback on this episode of Winning Plays than any other we did during the height of the postseason, I will be very disappointed. And I am now kicking myself for not making this a Celtics Talk podcast.
You're lost. Get you to the punch. All right, Chris Forsberg. ABC Sports Bots, and go back to the golf course. Go back to the brewery or wherever you stand. You're fine.
My sticker.
Vacation time.
I've been to a few.
I'm jealous. All right. Make sure you're checking them out there at NBC Sports Boston. We'll be back next week to see if the roster dust has settled a little bit and take one step closer to training camp.
Sign Blake.